I'm Lindsay with Wild Root Flower Company.
And I'm Shannon from Bloom Hill Farm. Over the last 6 years, we've leaned on each other as we grew our farms into the profitable six-figure farms they are today.
We want you to join us each week as we have real, honest conversations about life and business. And we promise you'll leave feeling inspired and your farming toolbox will be filled with actionable strategies you can implement at any stage in your business.
Learn from our mistakes as we talk business, marketing, and growing techniques to help you create the farm of your dreams.
So let's roll up our sleeves
and get the dirt on flowers.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Dirt on Flowers. We did it. It's Friday.
We made it.
Oh, every week. They go by so fast.
Well, it's good to celebrate each week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's good. Another successful week in the flower farming world. There's a lot of highs and lows, you know. So
that's right.
You got to celebrate.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It doesn't even, well, sometimes even Fridays you're like, yeah, but I still have a Saturday market.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always.
Yeah.
Not always. Yeah. But I don't know. I've been trying to get my business to be more of a Monday through Friday. Like that's kind of a goal of mine. Like not really to leave the farm and to be Monday through Friday, if I could just say like that's what I wanted.
Yeah. And at least maybe it doesn't require you on Saturdays.
Right.
But
right.
even still.
Well, your brain never stops thinking. Yeah,
you're still there. Owner. You know. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it is hard to shut off. But. Yeah. Monday through Friday is the dream. But we get the off season where we can chill a little bit. Right. You know, it's like, you know, we're kind of in there. So that's nice.
There's a lot of perks. Yes. Grass is not always greener just being in the flower farming world. There's ups and downs for sure. But
yeah. But if I was in an office, I would be dying a slow death like at my old job. So I really
very recently had the thought of like if I worked – another, mm-hmm. like, you know, 8 to 5 again. And then I'm like, what am I even talking about? I just, sometimes I like to just, I can't. I just could just not be, somebody told me once that I was like I would be trying to fence a wild horse. Like that's what they described me as. Like, it was just too much free. I like the freedom and the flexibility. Yeah. And that's what I love about owning a business and the farming world. Like even just after we did Christmas stuff this year, you know, I found myself really thinking about, what do I want 24 to look like? And I get so excited and sort of energized about what we can do for next season and how we can make it better. And I'm like, that's I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
100%. There's no going back. So that's a warning to all of you who want to do this full time. You're going to get bitten by the bug. And then you've just ruined it for yourself. Yeah. You're never going back because the freedom and even just being, I think like being your own boss is so empowering, terrifying, but empowering at the same time. So it's hard, you know, it's like, I don't know. The more you farm, I think the lesser those highs and lows get to you and you're just weathering the storms and you're really like celebrating the good times. And that's what it's about.
Yeah. And the other thing is just like stretching your personal limits. And today I want on the podcast, we have a very special guest that is very near and dear to my story and to my heart because I'm always talking about how as business owners and just in life, I've shared before that I have a sticker on the back of my car that says comfort is a slow death. I've talked about it on here. And it's like always pushing those boundaries for myself of comfort levels. And so I made a post a few years ago now where I just was sort of challenging people to dream big and like say out loud, because I think saying the things that we want in our life make those things sort of manifest and happen. And so I wrote on my Instagram post that I wanted to speak at a national farming conference. And I was sitting in my desk at my old office, still working full time. And my phone had caller ID, but it came up Linda Doan on my phone. And I'm like, Linda Doan is calling me? And I'm like, why does Linda Doan have my number? And I'm like, it's got to be a different Linda Doan, right? So I was like, chill, Lindsay. So I'm like, all of this goes through my head. And then I answer. And she's like, is this Lindsay? I'm like, it is. And I knew from her voice it was the Linda Doan. Okay.
Aww.
I'm like, and she asked me to speak at the ASCFG conference in Boston. And it just the whole thing, I found Linda on Instagram through a pumpkin toss, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. And then I'm like, this woman, I love her. Still one of my absolute favorite Instagram feeds, period. But Linda got me to speak at the ASCFG conference in Boston. And it has shifted my world for what I felt like was possible for myself. So Linda, welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you kindly. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, and I got to meet you at Boston in person with Roy. It was so
I got to meet you in Boston.
Oh, you're so sweet. Just the way you just introduced and then you introduced me to everybody there. It was really surreal. I know I thanked you then, but like that opportunity that you just sort of said, you took a shot, you know, but took a risk of having me do it. And it's been wonderful. So
it was no risk whatsoever. I was just excited for the world to get to know Lindsay. It was just lovely that everybody, and when I suggested you at the, on the Zoom call or whatever, the folks that didn't know you, you know, they got to know you and everybody was so excited and you did such a lovely job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Great.
It was so, it was one of those experiences where I had this like, oh, they have no idea what they just asked me to do. You know, like, do they have any idea? And then, you know, feeling like I was pushing myself into something I didn't feel necessarily ready for. But everybody in that conference they sort of gave me a buddy, right? If somebody just say, like, if you have any questions, if you're nervous, if you're this, like, this is who you speak to. And it was so nice. The whole experience for me just made me feel like validated of just like I'm in the right field, you know, all of these people just want you to succeed and do well. And it was a great conference and nice to get away, and then got to actually see Grace Lamb's place at Five Forks. That's like my dream. She's incredible. Like just
all
that
her
whole
tractors.
Farm. Oh
yeah, that was a lot of tractors.
A lot of tractors.
Impressive fleet.
Yeah. Yeah. Judd, Shannon's husband, I think was drooling that day.
Yeah.
All over the equipment. But yeah, so Linda, I found your Instagram page because you guys were doing the pumpkin roll. Well, the pumpkin toss or pumpkin roll. Pumpkin roll. Okay. They start at the top of the hill. Why don't you explain what it is?
Yeah, what is
this? People haven't seen it.
Our annual Thanksgiving pumpkin roll. We have our Ohio family and Tennessee family, Georgia family all here. And we gather pumpkins, and I have a flower farmer friend whose father grows pumpkins. So after Halloween, he gives us free pumpkins. So we have 30 or more pumpkins. Our driveway is a third of a mile uphill. So we start rolling the pumpkins out at the end of the driveway, and the winner this year rolled a full quarter of a mile. So we roll them one at a time down, and you can watch them for a while, and then they disappear down a hill, and you have to wait, see what comes up and what doesn't. And
oh, I love it.
So my son-in-law, Jimmy, won, and he went all the way down to the blacksmith shop. His pumpkin made it to the blacksmith shop.
Fun.
So. It's fun. And everybody in our family is ridiculously competitive. So a stupid thing I did was get a trophy. One of our videography friends has a trophy shop. So they took a bowling trophy and painted the bowling ball orange so that we have a winning trophy. And
the first year
my older grandson did not win, he was so angry that it's like we probably shouldn't have done a trophy. But it is
Is there a strategy needed?
Usually the pumpkins, you know, the ones that splat, we have pumpkins growing then the next summer in the bottom.
So funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Is there like a strategy? Do you like pull off the stem? Do you get to pick your pumpkin? Like how
I'm
does that work?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, you
No, you. We know the oval, kind of the Cinderella's roll best, but there's tricks to getting it in the right part of the hill so it doesn't go over another hill. You know, we're in East Tennessee, so everything's a hill. So, but people have figured it out, sort of.
Oh, that's good. I'm terrible at bowling, so I can only imagine. Like, I played softball, and so like I just have this horrible form with bowling. Like people that I bowl with are like, it looks painful, really, when you bowl. It's not graceful. It's like looks like you're in pain. I'm like, I'm not. It just chucking it halfway down the, halfway down that. But I just love your social media because I think you do such a great job. I'm going to ask you about social media a little bit later, but I think you do such a great job of showing your life and your business and making it entertaining. And it is just such a feel good page for me to watch. And I love it so much. So
thank you.
Yeah. And another thing is, so tell I didn't know this until recently when I read it on your website, but the story of how you and Roy met, because when you're with, now everybody's looking for like their story to tell. You guys have like a true romance story with the flower farm. So tell everybody about that.
Well, we really do. I was a single parent for 17 years. And when my daughter was a senior in high school, she had Coach Doan for calculus. And for some reason, her entire calculus class decided that we should go out. At this point,
No pressure.
And I was not particularly interested. You know, I'd been a single parent for 17 years and was financially okay and all that. So I thought, nah. So anyways, he called, we went, and the class just kept driving him crazy. And he said, yeah, I'll take her out. So he asked me out the week after graduation, and we got married a year to the day later. He is just the nicest. And I said to Kelly, my daughter, I said, what made you think we'd hit it off? And she said, well, they didn't know you'd marry him, but he was just the nicest man I'd ever met. And he had been married. But I'd say, well, why would I, you know, tell me about Coach Doan? And she goes, well, he lives with his mother. He has a really heavy Southern accent and poor grammar sometimes. And I thought, well, yeah, this is a match made in heaven, right? But he was just the nicest guy. And with him came this farm. So I'd never.
Oh, okay. You know,
but anyway, so that's our story. And we
didn't. Did he present you a rose? Did he present you a rose from his grandmother's rose bush?
His grandmother's rose bush. Oh. Every week. And when the first night he came, it was really, I was kind of nervous, you know, but when he showed up with a rose from his grandmother's bush, I thought he's okay. So he brought me a rose every time we went out. And one time I said, you know, you don't have to bring me a rose every week. That was the last rose I saw.
I was like, all right, I got her.
That's funny. Adorable.
I love that story.
Oh my gosh.
Just a nice fellow and happened to have a couple tractors and a couple hundred acres. So
not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. So yeah, just love that story.
Did you start your farm after you met him and like the moved flower on to his farm? Or, okay. For the flower part.
Yeah. We also raise grass-fed beef. And so we started the flowers 19 years ago. I was actually standing at the bottom of the driveway where the hoop house now is, and I just started to cry. Because if you've ever worked on a farm, well, you obviously have, but it just is overwhelming. You know, it's hot down here and we're doing hay and all that kind of stuff, and it just can take you over. And I just needed a niche. So when we would mow the hay, we had two tractors and he'd mow. And before I would run the tedder, which kind of whips them up, I'd gather the black-eyed Susans, the butterfly weed, and the daisies. And I'd put them in a Tupperware container and take them to church. And my neighbor said, you need to sell those at the farmer's market. Well, the first thing I thought was, I'll just set up a little stand down at Aunt Willie's house. And at the end of the day, the flowers were still there, but someone had stolen the stand. So I thought there's got to be a better way to sell flowers. So I started selling at the market. And then I joined ASCFG, and I'm competitive, so I had to get good at it. Mm-hmm. So, and the rest is history.
Oh my God.
So that was like 19 years ago?
Yeah, almost 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So your farm is named after your Aunt Willie?
Yeah, the flower part is named Roy's Aunt Willie. The house at the end of the road, and she left us her part of the farm. The farm's all connected. But when she passed away, we don't ever have to talk about flowers. Let's just talk about.
Oh, yeah.
When I was dating Roy, I learned that he lived with Aunt Willie for 17 years after Uncle Johnny died because she didn't want to be alone. And Aunt Willie's house is this little cute little brick bungalow house with no air conditioning. And he lived in a little upstairs bedroom. She didn't like to open the windows. And he lived there and stayed with her for 17 years, I guess. Anyways, years. And I thought, you know, I'm easier to live with Aunt Willie, and I'll even get air conditioning. I'll marry the guy, you know.
I was just thinking that. You were just looking like my gosh, high.
But, you know, that's just that little house. But he stayed with her and kind of took care of her until his dad died. And then his mom wanted him to move home and take care of her. So he moved home and stayed with her. So,
What a sweet. You can tell he has a tender heart from all of that caretaking.
Yes.
And, oh my gosh. So we kind of, I think I buzzed over, but tell us sort of like about where your farm's located. Mm-hmm. Cause I know I want to say Bluntville, but it's Bluntville.
Bluntville.
Right. If you're from Tennessee.
We're in the northeast corner of Tennessee, as far as you can go in Tennessee. And from our deck, we can see Tennessee, North Carolina, and Virginia. So
you have the most beautiful view. I love the shot that you do of different bouquets and arrangements that are. Is it on your deck
where you can see that view? It's right outside the door.
View. So yes, incredible.
When we land in bed, when we built the house, every room has a mountain view. So every room sees the sunrise, whether you want to or not.
Oh my gosh.
But we can kind of tell when it's coming in, it's orange, and we get up quick and take a picture.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your local customer demographic. What towns are you pulling from? Are you mostly pulling from local people? Are you getting new people constantly? Or how does that look for you?
We are in the middle of Kingsport, Johnson City, and Bristol is a tri-city area. Mm. And we're right in the middle of that. And each community is about 50 to 60,000 people. And we do pull locally. All our workshops, everything on farm is pretty much local. Although we're always surprised. For a farm tour, we'll have someone show up from Georgia, from Kentucky. And I'll message them and I'll go, you know, this is just a little farm tour. That they go, yeah, we want to come. And it's like, okay. So we're surprised at the draw we get for events. But we're kind of, you know, we're only an hour and a half from Asheville. We're 2 hours from Knoxville. So, you know, we're not that far from bigger things.
Yeah.
I know you're not far. I was telling Linda before we started recording, but she's only 4 hours from me, which I love because where I am, sometimes I resent where I am because I want to be close to bigger cities, but I really do. I am close to a lot of these like southern mm-hmm. states. So I would love to pop over sometime and see it because your farm tours, and we're going to talk about them here in a minute, but they just look so lovely. And I think people come, Linda, because of the wording on your website and the way that you just talking about Roy and like the homestead and all of that is like, I want to see it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what makes that's the pull, because I think it's just so charming and there's so many things these days that are new and people love that the story that's behind that. I love hearing that. So,
and at every farm tour, Roy tells Revolutionary and Civil War stories about the farm, which is
yeah,
very cool.
That's neat. So talk about like the ways that you are selling now on the farm. So like what are all the different avenues that you move flowers?
We do farm tours every month and we have 30 people and we charge $35. So, and we're amazed how people come to more than one tour. And we'll always say, if you come in March, you need to come when the dahlias are, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we do a CSA, and we used to deliver our CSA to a really nice, wonderful store where we love in Johnson City, and they could pick up there or here, you know, that. And after COVID, we just said, let's see how they do picking up here. And we've never left. And even people that live a half an hour away, I'll say now, you know, Joy goes your way when she goes home from work. Do you want her to drop it off? And they'll go, we like to come to the farm. So we put up a couple chairs behind the cooler and they can sit and watch the cows or whatever if they want. Huh. But so we have a CSA and we have the farm tours and then we do workshops. And we're both retired teachers and we love the sound of our voice. So we like to talk and I've really loved the educational workshops that we've come up with in the last couple of years. We started doing a flower farming 101 where people come and learn how to be a flower farmer. And we do a grow your own cut flower garden, and we do regular design workshops. But last winter we started doing, like in February, I was just getting lonely. So I said, let's do a flat lay workshop. So people came, piled in the back of the truck. We went out on the farm and just gathered junk and came back and took flat lay pictures of them. Oh. And we had so much fun. And we did a photography workshop where I had one of our photographer come and help with that. At Christmas time, we used to do wreath workshops, but I have grandchildren, so we don't want to do those anymore Christmas. So this year we're doing a wreath workshop after Christmas where we just go get a bunch of dried dead stuff. Huh. And we have dried some stuff and just let them play with that kind of stuff. We do yoga and flowers where they do yoga, and then we do something with flowers. And so that's a kind of an idea, but I love to think of ways to bring people to the farm and kind of a little different group. Yoga people are different from wreath people, are different mm-hmm. from photography people. And the bigger, broader pool of people that you can have, the more likely they are to do a CSA, whatever like that. And even weddings. The year we probably made the most money, we did 42 weddings, but I was in my young 60s then. So now we make everybody come to the farm and pick them up. So we don't, as soon as they say 20 wedding tables, I go, let me tell you about a friend of mine who'd love to do your wedding. We're trying to do bridesmaids, and we can do an arbor. We just put it on a board with chicken wire and they zip tie it, you know. So we like the little.
That's smart. That's a good idea.
Yeah, they're easy squeezy.
I've been using foam, and I got sassed one time about talking about using foam on the podcast, so I'm usually cautious with that. But the chicken wire and board, that's a nice alternative for that is. With holding.
And I just saw somebody do it better than I did, smarter than I did, because I had stapled the chicken wire and then put straw in it and around, and somebody else did that, but they just put zip tie. They didn't do any stapling, so they just put a coil of chicken wire with, well, I use straw in it, and then just zip tied that around a couple times around the board.
That's pretty slick. Yeah, I'm always looking for an alternative to.
Yeah, I'm always looking for easier ways to do things.
Yeah,
and you will not go to hell for using foam.
Thank you. I needed that today.
We're quoting that. Well, I was just thinking, like, I mean, you're using wire as well. There's a lot of waste that can be with wire. But anyway, I'm going to quote you. I'm going to put that on a damn t-shirt. Linda Doan said, I'm not going to go to hell for using foam.
That's correct.
Thank you. So was the ultimate goal for you to directly, when you did COVID, I guess, let me ask you this. Did COVID change the way you did your business as far as like having them come to the farm? Or was it like ultimately your goal when you started the farm to like eventually not leave it?
I don't think when we started the farm, we weren't smart enough to have a goal. We just kind of went with it. Mm-hmm. But the older we've gotten, and I think one of the biggest advantages or the biggest perk of our farm is our farm. We've got log barns from the 1800s, the home place built in 1870, Aunt Willie's house built in 39-40, and we've got cattle, we've got rolling hills. And it's a pretty place. And so I think bringing them here is fun for us, but it's also smart because they kind of become a part of our farm community. And I tell people, we really like the people our farm draws. People that want to come to this kind of, it is a rundown. I mean, literally the home place, the floor is falling in with old termite damage. And, you know, we lost another building at the end of the farm because we don't know what held it up the last 5 years anyway, but it was just a barn that wasn't a log barn that was ready to fall down. Right. Mm-hmm. So we think bringing people here is good for them and good for us. And it's worked. If, you know, you're probably like me, every time you post a workshop, you go, what if no one comes? And I always say, well, then we quit. We're old. Yeah. We just quit. Mm-hmm. And they keep coming to farm tours. They keep coming to workshops. Mm. So we're doing something well enough that they come. You know, we're not a six-figure farm.
Yeah.
But we are making money. So that's
good. Well, that's good. Mm. So how did it start? I guess tell me, like, I know you kind of talked about it starting 20 years ago and you started in the flowers. But what were you selling in the beginning and sort of what has been that evolution to get you to where you are now?
we were selling too much. Like everybody, we grew like 180 different, you know, just everything, because we were doing farmers mm-hmm. markets. And mm-hmm. I think when you do farmers markets, you have to grow more variety of flowers because you don't want this week's bouquets to look exactly like next week's, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And we loved the market, but do you both do markets?
We mm-hmm. do. Yeah.
Well, you know, the headaches with a market.
Yeah, it's and a lot.
We had mm-hmm. one where we had to be there to get a good spot at like 3 a.m, you know, and that kind yeah. of stuff just was really hard. So, mm-hmm. and then one of my first market customers, she said, "You're going to do my daughter's wedding." And I said, "I'll never do a wedding." And she goes, "It's okay. She's not dating anybody yet."
And did you do it?
As it turns out, that was our first real wedding.
Aww.
And that's one of so our sweet. Biggest weddings, because it was at their place on the lake and they had us do the rehearsal dinner and all the flowers had to be different. And wow. But mm-hmm. anyway, so that moved us into weddings and I fell in love with the brides. I've had very few bridezillas. Of course, when they come to me, I'm not looking for work. So they go, "I want this." I go, "I don't do it. You can go somewhere else." They go, no, yeah, that's yeah. okay.
Never mind.
But anyway, then I loved brides. We quit doing the markets to do more weddings. But then it's like, as you got older, that was too much. It was like mm-hmm. every wedding in Tennessee, as soon as they knew I was going to be there putting up an arbor, it would be 100 degrees. And so yeah. we kind of moved away from weddings. So we said at the beginning, we're going to let the farm drive our business. And that's what we have done. And it has led us back to the farm, but we didn't really know that. We didn't mm-hmm. know kind of really what a little gem we had in the farm itself until we started bringing people here and seeing. And, you know, and I say to myself, why do they want to come? And I think they don't all have a farm. You know, who have a farm really are very fortunate because everybody can't have a farm. And I say we didn't have to buy it. And Roy says, "Yes, we did, because we bought out his uncle and his brother." But we had
yeah.
But we had the opportunity to do that, which a lot of people mm-hmm. don't. So mm-hmm. I don't yeah. remember the question. Did I come anywhere
near? No, you answered it. Yeah, just yeah. the evolution of the farm yeah. and all of that. Yeah.
The CSA kind of took the place of the market. So mm-hmm. we know we're going to make money in the CSA and about as much as we used to make in the market. Yeah. And it's customers that you know are there. So mm-hmm. that's been good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they come the first week of the CSA. We'll do a spring and a summer and maybe a, you know, depends. But the first week of the CSA, we'll say, "Meet us at Aunt Willie's where the cooler is. We'll show you where the cooler is, how to get into it, yada, yada." And so mm-hmm. then we don't have mm-hmm. to be there and they can pick up anytime Tuesday from 2 till dark.
No, wow. That's yeah, smart. You that's know, to nice. Think about like actually greeting them for the mm-hmm. first week, especially right. with new yep. people. That's a really good tip because yep. I'm going to jot that yeah. down.
It's like, let me show you how this is going to work.
Yeah, that yeah. would make them even feel more comfortable because that's one of the things we talk about with CSA is, you know, communication, right. communication. Like, oh, you can't over communicate with a CSA, it seems like. So that's a nice transition. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I was going to ask you, do you have employees? Like, have you had employees?
We do.
Do you have employees now?
Okay. We do. And it is harder for me. And I'm not trying to play the age card. I'm 74 and I'm very thankful that I'm able to do what I can do. But my energy level has dropped and I'm more wobbly. I'm not as stable. My daughter yeah. says, "You've got to cover those rebar posts with something so you don't run yourself through." But
yeah.
So we have one young woman who works 2 days a week and about 6 hours, and another who works another 6 hours. And we have a young man who comes and does some heavy duty stuff whenever he can. So it's mm-hmm. never more than yeah. like 8 hours, but yeah. that's enough. We're able to sell the flowers we grow, but we don't grow a lot of flowers. I think a lot of people after a farm tour, you know, I'll say, "We really don't grow much." And we don't, you know, mm-hmm. we have like 800 dahlias. We have 150 peonies. And then we throw in some other stuff. We have a 32 by 70 foot hoop house. I love spring flowers. So that's full mm-hmm. now, ready mm-hmm. to go. But when the end of June, I would really like to not put anything else in there. And yeah. So, but we do, we put our warm season stuff in there just so it's contained, because we are so spread out. We're so hilly, you know, all of that. So we're trying to kind of keep it a little closer together.
One of my favorite posts is the post where you said, this is how we divide dahlias. I don't know if you've seen it, Shannon, but you take.
Oh yeah. Well, I got in trouble for that. Cause somebody said it didn't work and they were really mad at me. So I didn't know.
Oh, please.
Well, you can't be responsible. They might've dropped it from a 2-story building. I mean, the comments, you gave a lot of people anxiety over that post. It cracked me up because I was like, okay, well, I need to be a little bit easier on myself with that.
Yeah.
You know, it was so funny to watch it. It was like, if you have not seen what we're talking about, is it still on your feed? Was it a reel?
Oh, probably somewhere. Yeah. You'd have to go.
She takes a clump of dahlias out of the ground and she says, this is how I divide dahlias. And she just slams it against the ground and they just sort of break apart, you know. But the comment section on it was really entertaining.
It works if we have clay. So if the dirt is hard, it works. Mm-hmm. This year we were in such a drought, it was more loose. And when mm-hmm. you dropped them, they did hurt the tubers. But if you have really hard dirt, you just drop. I mean, it's hot. It's the same. Mm-hmm. People just take their shovel and throw it into dahlias. Yeah. That's not being very kind to the poor little people either.
That's
so,
right.
You know,
that's right.
Just drop them.
And you overwinter. You're in a zone. What zone are you? 7?
We're 6B7.
Yeah.
And this year, we're in the middle of this now. We're digging a bunch of them. Okay, here's my plan. This is my last year to ever have to do anything in the dahlias. How many times have you ever said that? So we're digging all but one. We have 500-foot rows. We're digging 4 rows, dividing them, and then we're replanting them now.
Okay.
So they do better. I'm a lazy farmer. So when I store them, I lose more stored in Aunt Willie's basement than I do mm-hmm. in the ground. Mm, so we're digging, dividing, and replanting now. And then we left, and we're not doing them in landscape fabric. We just gathered leaves and put on them. So my theory is next year, I'm not doing anything to them. I'm just starting to.
I'll good. Check back in with you because that sounds lovely. Yeah.
But anyway, so.
Oh, well, I love that.
Yes. So if you're thinking about your season, what would, like, in your busiest month, what would your typical week look like for you?
Oh, let's see. I'm going to say that's going to be like May. Mm-hmm. And that's our busy time, you know, Mother's Day. And the Hoop mm-hmm. House allowed us, now we've got so much blooming for Mother's Day with cool flowers by planting all the snaps and campanula and everything in the mm-hmm. spring. So I guess I love to be outside. I hate to be inside. So I'm outside. I'm not good at this question. All right. So we go up, get up in the morning, go see what's mm-hmm. happening, harvest early, mm-hmm. put them into buckets. We have a new fun little side-by-side. We're real spread out because of the hills and the woods. Mm-hmm. Load that with flowers, take them down to the cooler. A week. That's just part of a day.
Well, are you selling, where are you selling in the spring too? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There
where would
go.
You be moving them to? Mm-hmm.
There we go. So we would be creating on Tuesdays, we do a CSA. So we'll capture that on Mondays. We'll do the CSA Tuesday mm-hmm. morning. And I have one, my longest standing employee who, you know, came and, okay, one more quick story. So she goes to our church. So she and her friend Tiffany, Ida Mae Floral, who's wonderful now, she's in Austin, Texas. Anyway, we invited them to lunch. We invite the young people to make us feel young. We bring them home. So they came to lunch. And at the end, and I always take flowers to church. So at the end, they said, do you need anyone to work for you? And I go, I'd love to have you work for us. So those were two really good employees that we had. And later we found out that they were they came here hoping to work at our farm. And we were just hoping that they would work at our farm. So but anyways, Kristen, then she went through college, she got married, or she was married, she had babies. Now she's back working at the farm and she helps with the CSA.
Oh,
and So then we'll do the CSA on Tuesday. People come and pick them up. Then we'll be cutting again Wednesday. We often do workshops. We try to do at least one design workshop a month and something else. We usually do those on a Thursday evening so that they have them for the weekend. And we haven't used the flower. We've got new flowers after the CSA. So CSA is Tuesday, cut Wednesday, Thursday for the workshop. And then if we have a wedding pickup, that would be on a Saturday. So that would be a very busy week. But that's how we would spread it all out so that all our flowers would be taken.
Yeah. That's as far as your planning goes with your farm tours, because that's what I want to ask you about next. With farm tours and workshops, are you planning those out for like a whole season? Are you doing it like a month in advance that you're deciding like when you want to do it?
Okay. And I listen to your one about publicity and whatnot, and you said you need to do it a month out. We don't do that. And the reason is because I kind of look at the weather and I look at the flowers we've got and what's coming up. And the farm tours usually fill up the day or the second day I post them on Instagram and Facebook. And so we'll usually just post that 1 week before, and sometimes it's like 5 days. Now, if it gets to the point where nobody comes, I'll have to figure it out. But we're just kind of looking at our schedule. We're looking at the flowers, and I'm lazy. I'm afraid to do it too far ahead because some people come over. You know, when we first started doing workshops, I gave them more time, and I had more people who wanted to cancel, which I wouldn't let them do, but it was a pain to have to figure that out. So even the design workshops, but what I do that's been a good marketing tool for me is when they come like to a workshop, I have a list and it says, would you like to be contacted early for a farm tour, a design workshop, a yoga workshop, yada, yada. So I have all their names and phone numbers there. Then I just go to those lists and I text each of them the same message, but I text them individually before I post to social media. That has really helped. A lot of times they'll almost fill just by having sent that out ahead of time. So I'll do that maybe a week and a half ahead, wait and post. If it's not full, then I'll put it on social media and try to pick up a few people that didn't respond to that or aren't on that list. Does that make sense?
Interesting.
Yeah, that's very smart. I know I wanted to use that marketing for because we use an app called Text Them All. And I suppose if you had written confirmation, because they say you have to confirm that they want texting. So I'm like, if I have them on a list that says they wanted contact early, I think that would be good.
And I'm amazed how many people, I'm amazed how many people are on the list, especially from the farm tour. There's 30 people, but the farm tour people are spending $35. They're not interested in a $165 workshop usually, but sometimes they are.
Mm-hmm. Is your farm tour, the people who come for the farm tours, are you just giving like a history of the farm? Or are you like going in depth growing info? Like, is it for the grower or is it just for somebody who wants to come out and learn about the farm?
No, it's for grandma and her grandkids and her daughter.
Okay.
And we start with we start with stories. We take them through the dahlia beds. We take them through the hoop house. But we are really giving them good growing information. I shouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. And then we have, because we're so spread out, we have to drive to Aunt Willie's house where all the woodies and perennials are. Mm-hmm. And then we tell them a little bit about Aunt Willie. And then we show them through all that stuff and then just let them wander around and go up and see the vases and, you know.
Yeah. Very cool. Are they picking flowers or anything?
Yes.
Or can
they give them a ball jar and they cut, but we only let them cut like during dahlia season, they only cut dahlias. So we have to do the tours when there's not something preceding it that takes the dahlias. Okay.
Gotcha.
So we've got full dahlia beds. And in the spring, we'll let them, we don't let them cut peony. Sometimes we'll have the ball jar started and we'll let them cut zinnias or whatever.
Gotcha.
But it's very confined and they don't care if the flowers are good or bad. They just want flowers.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have that.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that, Lindsay, about your U-cut that they don't care what it looks like.
No,
they don't. It shocks me. Like the
sure
flowers drooping and they're just like happy as all get out that they're taking taking a selfie with this droopy right. flower. I'm like, mm-hmm. that's Johnson's grass.
1 year we had the ugliest red ranunculus I have ever seen. It was a color that absolutely did not go with anything. And so they'd had a few flower starts and I let them in the hoop house and I go, okay, I don't usually let people cut ranunculus, but you can cut the red ones. It's like, oh yeah, that's great.
So funny.
Oh my gosh.
With I guess what you're doing, your weddings, your workshops, your CSA, you also do porch flowers, like pickup? Is that
we
right?
We do.
Like
well, that's can- really, yeah, we do. But, you know, I don't think we did it more than once or twice last year because we didn't have extra flowers. Gotcha. If we do have mm-hmm. extra flowers, we'll do petals on the porch. That's how we have our Mother's Day bouquet picked up mm-hmm. as well. But, and some of that, I'm being very honest here, I'm lazy. You know, it's like I'd rather give a bucket of flowers away almost than make two or three bouquets and go through sure. the process of selling them.
Yeah. The yeah. I wouldn't call that lazy. I would call that smart. So that's, you know, you could word it however.
We do have a lot of custom orders, just people wanting a bouquet. And I won't do a bouquet for you less than $50 just because, mm-hmm. you know, even if they're in the cooler, it's, you know, you have to go and get certain flowers and what. Mm-hmm. And I don't even encourage that, but we have so many folks who are wonderful that, you know, we do those. And it's better yeah. if it's on the day when it's a CSA or whatever. And my kids yeah. at work here, they're delightful and they like to make those too. And they're getting better and better at bouquets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you the main designer with weddings and arrangements yes. still or? Okay. Wow. That's wonderful.
I love design. Yeah. And I'm not great. I'm not a natural, but I'm good. I stick with it.
I think so.
I think yeah. the bride would be happy with it. And mm-hmm. I know my flowers. So I kind of learned what I need to fill a hole. And, you know, we design in the chicken coop, which was built in the 1940s by Uncle Johnny. And it's just great. It's three rooms and that's our design space. And, but right, you know, if I need something, I just go out and that's where all the woodies and, you know, any flower yeah. farmer knows that we have such an advantage over florists who have mm-hmm. to go get it.
Yes.
But I've just learned design, you know, mostly from market bouquets because you make 60 market bouquets a week and you kind of learn what colors go together and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm yeah. not afraid to yeah. try anything. So, you know, I like all that fun stuff that goes with design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as your lines of business of all the things you do, and I don't want numbers, but how do they rank as far as like what's most profitable for you? Is weddings the most profitable thing or what's making you the most money?
It used to be weddings, but we don't take that many. Literally, I did probably 10 weddings last year, so they're not our most profitable. And I haven't figured the numbers for this year yet, but I think it may be every time we do a design workshop, it's like $1,200 to $1,500. And because we did so many workshops before the season started, I think mm-hmm. we made $10,000 last year before anything was blooming. And for us, that was good money.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think maybe workshops maybe are first for us now when you consider all the different types of workshops mm-hmm. we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love asking that question to people because it's like every farm is so different and right. it also aligns with like your teaching and what you like to do. And I, mm-hmm. we're always talking about doing the things that light you up. And I think when those, like Shannon has said this today in another mm-hmm. place, but she said when where you're making money aligns with like what lights you up, you're right. that's gold. Like you're yeah. happy with it. Your energy goes into it. It excites you. So I always love hearing like where that yeah. ranks for everybody within their business. But
and I think it's important that you look to see where you are making money mm-hmm. yeah. because, you know, I didn't used to do that. And it's like, oh, you know, and even with a particular flower, you know, why am I growing this flower?
Yeah.
It's not making
yeah.
any money, you know.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. I have a quick technical question. So I'm really impressed with how many different kinds of workshops you have? So like, for instance, on a photography workshop, how do you structure that? So you get a photographer that you like how do you price that, and do you pay them, or how does that work? Right. How have you figured out the best way to do that?
That's one of our farm kids that we've kind of adopted, you know, and we just love her and I met her doing weddings, but we charge $150. It's a cell phone only, not.
Oh, weekend. Interesting.
And, she makes 50 and I make 100 because I'm supplying the flowers and the farm, and I hope she's happy with that. If she isn't, we'll change it.
Yeah.
But the reason I take 2/3 is, for one thing, I'm doing the planning. I come up with the idea. I'm
absolutely organizing.
And she does more than just show up. If she also helps with our flat lay, but because she just shows up, I just pay her hourly for while she's there. Okay. Gotcha. So if it's a 2-hour workshop, I'm going to give her maybe $30, $40, but she's not doing anything before or after.
Yep.
But this one, she's doing stuff before and after, and she's just helping. So we came up with, and I've taken I used to teach at a college. And so I continued to take digital photography like 3 times. So we do the same little kind of assignments and, you know, rule of thirds. And we sent them stuff out. This is a workshop. Beforehand, we had pictures here. Then we just let them wander around the farm practicing rule of thirds, you know, all those kinds of principles of photography.
And
we had them send us their favorite, I forget how many, 5 photos. Yeah. And then I posted those on stories with the people who did.
That's smart.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm always looking for fun new workshop ideas. Like every year I have so many that are brewing. And workshops for me are one of those things that it's so cool to be a business owner, because I'm like, I just want to do a workshop with dried florals or whatever it is. And we did one of our, this would be a good one for you, Linda, in a winter workshop, but we did these little boho wreaths. Basically, it's a metal ring and they essentially just put string around the middle and then they dropped flowers in. And we did it as a Galentine's Day event. So it's a really good off season. That's like, it doesn't take that much product. They weave the flowers in. And I always think when I'm making one, this is just a tip for anybody, but I'm always like, how am I going to turn this into a workshop? This is like a 5-minute thing. It is not 5 minutes when you have a room full of people that don't do this for a living. I'm like, oh no, this is an hour and a half workshop and we're just wrapping string. Like, you know, there's just, it is a very different thing, but that's a nice, the photography thing is really cool. I love
that's
that.
That's a cute idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do one other workshop that you all should do. It's our it's a wedding photography workshop. So we get 3 brides.
Oh.
My favorite florist, well, we really only sell to one because I don't want to sell to florists, but she and I pick 3 brides that we've done weddings for. And so they come all dressed up. We don't do makeup, hair, any of that stuff. They just show up. They're all young and beautiful anyways. They'll bring their husband sometimes. And then Susan and I make 3 bouquets, okay? We have such fun that day. Then we'll do like an arbor, a table setting. What else have we done? Inside wall hanging, something. Anyway, so then we invite 6 photographers and we've never published it because they fill first and we just charge like $200. But so 6 photographers come. So 3 photographers are with the 3 brides at the home place, wandering all around taking pictures with the bride, the groom, the bouquet. We have flower girls that come.
Okay.
Then the other 3 photographers are down with Susan and me. We're teaching them to make a bouquet. So then after about an hour and a half, we flip groups. So everybody's learned to make a bouquet and everybody's gotten like 15, 20 minutes with a bride. And then they can add all that to their portfolio. Then we send all the pictures to the brides and it's just such fun.
That's so fun. I love that.
And you could charge more than $200 for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, then Anna, the photographer, she's taken care of the photographers while Susan and I, because we're at the other end of the farm with the flowers.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a good one. Love that idea.
Me too. So they come in their wedding dresses that they wore previously. Right. So do they have to wear their wedding? Okay.
Or they change there at the farm, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's very cute.
Yeah,
and the home
I know.
Place is, you know, is an old house. It's kind of fun. Or they go in the fields and, you know, they're photographers, so they're so creative. They take it into the hoop house, you know, and it's just, it's amazing how talented people are.
Oh, I know. I'm always so impressed when photographers, like, I'm looking at something like, I'm not sure you're going to love this. And then you see the photos, I'm like, oh, wow. I really don't know what I'm doing with photography at all because they're so lovely. So, I love that idea.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so cute.
Yeah, workshops are just such a fun way to have people on the farm. I mean, you can get really creative with it. One, it's been in the works for like over a year. This year just kind of got eliminated from my calendar, but is a sun print workshop. We're going to do it with clothing. So, like a sun print on clothes or a hat or something. So, it's on the horizon for next year. It's like on my calendar a few times. But
Yeah.
I love that you are able to fill these, because it was one of the questions we had was like how you're marketing things on the farm, like the farm tours or the workshops and stuff. I think you just do such a great job. Do you have an email list?
We do. And it's a good email list. Don't ask me how often I send something out on it.
I'm not. I won't.
Good. But ask me how often I intend to send something out.
Once a week?
Weekly.
No, I'd love to do it once a month, but I just don't.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to apologize.
What you're doing is working.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
what
you're happy with it.
You said to me, like, I say that it has to be, you know, start marketing a month in advance. And I think that's for people that don't have a 20-year following. You've got 20 years of people who know who you are and you have a lot of – so you don't have to do it that far in advance. I think even for myself, you know, I do the calendar for the year and then, you know, I've just started this year where it was like, oh, only about a month ahead am I going to look at do I want to actually post this? Because I was sort of putting a whole lot of pressure on myself, like, well, I didn't do that workshop. And I was like, yeah, Lindsay, because you didn't have the bandwidth to do it and that's okay. And so – I always seem to get to this part in the season where I feel like I have a hard time promoting everything. And that's a good indicator for me that I got too much stuff going on, that I really need to peel back and focus on certain things where I feel like I can't get everything out that we have going on to customers. I'm like, I feel like that's a problem all the ways for them to shop us. So, but I've been one thing I want to do next year is more farm tours. We do a CSA night. It's a customer appreciation night. And I got the idea from Shannon. And it honestly was one of my most favorite nights of the whole year. And all we really did was a farm tour. And
did you charge them or did they come?
I didn't.
Free?
It was free. Yeah. Right. We provided like just some fun. We got with a local vendor and did some cookies and did drinks and stuff for them. And they got a farm tour. And it was just a free night for them to get to come and enjoy the space. And they just loved it. They got to ask questions and, you know, they are really invested in the farm. So I'm like, you know, there's probably a lot of people that would want to do a farm tour. I just, I'm always like, oh, nobody's going to show up for this, you know? So yeah, just looking to see how I can incorporate that. So I was anxious to hear how you were going to, you know, how you structured yours. It sounds lovely. And it's 2 hours. Is your tour like 2 hours long?
It is 2 hours because we have geographically, we're not all in one place. You know, they start at the home place, but we try to keep them and they can stay and wander. And we tell them if you want to go, we have a little cabin up in the woods. You can wander up there, but very rarely do people do that. They're pretty worn out by the end of 2 hours.
Yes.
You know, we keep them moving and they hang around a little bit, but not a lot. And the ones that have questions, they hang around longer. And we finally say, we're heading to Cracker Barrel. Do you want to go with us? And sometimes they do.
Oh, no. You're so nice. Oh, you're so sweet.
Well, you know, it's fun to talk with people who are really have good questions. It's fun to talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So, Linda, what would you say is your 5-year plan? Like, where do you want to be 5 years from now?
Living.
What does the farm look like? Oh,
I saw that and I thought, in 5 years, I will be ready to turn 80. So it's like, you know, we've started saying, since I was about 65, I've said, this is my last year. This is my last year. But I love it. And what would I do? Watch soap operas and eat bonbons. You know, what would you do? You would have to stay inside your house, like, and clean it or something.
Ugh. Yeah.
So in 5 years, I'd like to still be doing some workshops, farm tours, maybe not weddings, maybe a CSA, but I just want to have good people working for us. We love the kids here. They're kind of a part of us. You know, if you have workers, you probably feel that way too. And when we have a, and we've never advertised, people just kind of show up. So when, of course, we have a little staff, but when one quits, like if it's the last one, we go, okay, let's just quit. And then we'll get a phone call from someone who wants to work and we go, oh. So as long as we have people who would like to work and are good workers, we'll keep going just on a little smaller scale. Even now, I don't have to go out every day in the hot summer. I like going out when it's cold, but I'm from Northeast Ohio in the snow belt, and this humidity is awful.
Yeah.
So anyways, so I'd like to be doing nothing. Yeah. There's nothing on the horizon that makes me say, I want to do that. I don't want to do virtual workshops. I think that would be good, but I like having the people here. So
Yeah.
No, and we're not trying to live on this. I need to say that, you know, we both have pensions and social security. So for
that's
a while
gonna be...
we did try to make more money, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a valid point. Cause I think we're always asking, you know, we're talking about six figures and what do you need to make a living? What do you need to do to make a living? And everybody, I think that's what's so hard when people are looking for those type of answers, because everybody's circumstances are completely different, including Shannon and I's. You know, I'm single. I don't have children. Shannon's married, and Judd, it's supporting two incomes and a family. And so I think all those things are really relevant. And it's what makes that a hard question to answer for people. So I think that's a fair thing. I talked about social media, but how have you made social media work for you? Because I feel like people are super intimidated by it. You've even done your twirling. Is it Tuesdays?
Know what? I'm going to do a twirling Tuesday when I turn 75 in April, and I want to do another twirling Tuesday then.
I love it.
What is it? What is twirling Tuesday?
I twirl farm implements. I used to be a featured twirler in college and high school and stuff.
Oh, yes. Fun.
So, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just pick up things and twirl them. So I thought, I'm going to do Twirling Tuesday. So I do little videos and post them. So haven't done it in a while. We want to do one when I'm 75. So twirling rebar or sticks or garden boxes, you know.
It's amazing. That's why
sounds
I love
dangerous.
Your daughter ought to be worried about twirling rebar around. That's what she should be worried about.
Yeah.
True. But I like social media. I learned social media. The first big workshop I ever went to, okay, guess who taught it? Aaron Benzekin and Jenny Love.
Oh, okay.
I know. I went to Philadelphia for it, and they taught me about Instagram. So I got on it, and I like Instagram. I like to write. I like to think, and I like to, you know, so, and I like photography. So it was kind of a natural. I agree with, I heard one of you say on one of your podcasts that Facebook is better for you. And I think more my local people are on Facebook, but Instagram and just, it goes to Facebook automatically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I used to post like every day on Instagram. I don't anymore. Once or twice a week is all I do. But I enjoy it. So, and it's been a good marketing tool. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you do a great job at it. You really do. Well, I think a lot of people are intimidated by it.
If you don't like to do it, you probably need to find another way to market yourself. And I like to just look and see what other people are doing on Instagram, you know, look at their pretty pictures.
Inspiration. And So what would you say that is your favorite part of the farm, or what's your favorite thing that keeps you fueled and wanting to come back every single year?
Well, I think it's probably the people that come out here. You know, yeah. I could get lonely out here if there weren't any people, you know. I guess it's a mix of the people kind of playing with the flowers. Mm-hmm. And I do like hard work. I like the feel of dirt in my hands. My favorite thing. I like design, you know. Mm-hmm. I like to just play with, pick up weeds and see what it becomes. Mm-hmm. So all of that is a part of my world because we started growing flowers. Mm-hmm. So I think you can take something, whatever you're doing, whether it's growing flowers or teaching driver's ed, and just expand that to say what all could be involved in this. And then picking the pieces that you like or that you do well, bringing them together so that mm-hmm. you kind of created a type of farm, a type of driver education course, mm-hmm. a type of whatever that's matching with your likes and your abilities. Does that make sense?
That's perfect. I was honestly, the next thing I was going to ask you was advice for someone starting out and struggling to find their place in the industry. And that was an answer for that too. I mean, it's such a good reminder that we need to align ourselves with what you love and what you want to do. And I think social media, sometimes I get on a rant about social media because I think there's wonderful things about it. And I think there's things that can be toxic for people. And I think if you don't feel super solid within yourself and what you want to do within your business, you can get like lost in the noise comparing mm-hmm. yourself to other people. So mm-hmm. it's such a good reminder to just do what the things you love, and your business will be successful off of that. You can make a business doing anything, one thing with that. So yeah, I think that's great. I think that's wonderful.
Say to young new farmers, have fun, you know, because mm-hmm. even things that you kind of like that are really hard, that you don't really enjoy, you know, you can do that for a while. But if you're in it for 19 years, you've mm-hmm. got to find ways to have fun with it.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah. It is the key to longevity in the business.
Right. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's hard. There's a lot of people. I mean, I would guess the majority of our listeners right now have a second job. I mean, Shannon and I were both there mm-hmm. for 5 years and, you know, I don't regret how I did it because it got me to where I was, but there was, you know, I was teetering on some burnout pretty hard where, you know, having to sort of prioritize like taking care of myself and making sure that, you know, that's the top priority right now with farming, right, as I think it should be for everybody, you know, prioritizing like what you really want out of your business and should not be burning the candle at both ends. And mm-hmm. I think farming in general sometimes gets glamorized to have these like wearing the badge of like how many hours a week that we're working. And it's like, that's mm-hmm. not the goal. Like,
right.
You know, at the end of the day, we don't want to just hang our hat on working 80 hours a week because that's not, you know, I don't think that's sustainable in any realm. So but I just love chatting with you. I could talk to you.
This was fun.
I agree. And next time you come through Marietta, you have to tell me, because I would love to buy you dinner or lunch or something. We said this before we started recording, but she's from Northeast Ohio, so like around mm-hmm. Cleveland area. So she comes through Marietta on the interstate. And so she's probably only 4 or 5 minutes from my farm. But I'm going to be going to Cleveland actually on Wednesday.
Very good.
Yeah. So, but you have to stop. I'd love to take you to dinner or something sometime. So
that'd be lovely. Yeah. You don't have to take me to dinner, but I would love to stop.
Oh yeah. Love to.
Linda, can you tell everybody how they can connect with you and learn more about your farm?
Yeah, we have, our website is Aunt Willie's Wildflowers, and our Instagram is the same, and our Facebook is the same, and you can find me there and come visit us wherever you are.
I'm putting you on my list.
Good. Oh, yes.
Yep.
And we have, now I'm not saying this to the entire listening audience, but we have 2 extra bedrooms in the basement.
Uh-oh, you just said it.
And if you're not particular about plumbing, you can stay in the home place.
Yeah. Now, Shannon, she likes some of the finer things in life.
Yeah, okay? I'm going to need more details on that.
I have done a 2-week backpacking trip with like very limited showering, so I can handle the lack of plumbing. I'm in more Appalachia than she is. So
yes.
Love yeah. it. Oh. Linda, you're such a joy to talk
yes,
to.
Yes, thank you, Linda. Well, thank you.
This was fun.
Good.
And we wish you well. Roy and I look at you young farmers and we just root for you all because there's a way to do well at this and it's just a matter of figuring it out and you all are doing well and we cheer you
thank
on
you.
And enjoy watching your journeys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We feel that. Yeah. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. If you love what you're hearing, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. That way you'll get a little notification every Friday when we put out a new episode so that you don't miss us. If you haven't joined us yet over at the Dirt on Flowers Insiders, what are you waiting for? We have almost a year now worth of content waiting for you to dive into on our website. Just a $20 commitment per month and you get so much more than just our content. You get a amazing, wonderful group, a growing community of people all over the world who are asking their questions and getting them answered. Plus, they're getting so much support in our Facebook group. It really is like it's the wonderful thing, one of the wonderful things about the Insiders. Connect with us on Instagram at Dirt on Flowers and drop us a comment or message and tell us what you want to hear more of. Of course, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. We really hope that you loved today's episode as much as we absolutely loved recording it. We'll see you at the same time, same place next week.